This is the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast brought to you by Art Wiederman, CPA with Ide Bailey. Whether it's taxes and investing or planning wisely, Art is the expert to make your dental practice profitable. At Ide Bailey, what inspires you inspires us. We provide a suite of accounting and advisory services dedicated to the total care of your practice. Visit our website to access our tools and resources tailored for dentists, idebailey.com/dentist. That's idebailey.com/dentist. This podcast is distributed with the understanding that Art Wiederman, CPA, and Ide Bailey, LLP are not rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. Listeners should consult with their business advisors before acting on any of the information or opinions shared. If you have questions and or feedback, make sure to email Art over at awiederman@idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. You can also give Art a call at 657-279-3243. Without further delay, here's your host, Dental CPA Art Wiederman.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast with Art Wiederman, CPA. I am your host, Art Wiederman, and it is finally here in Southern California, a sunny spring day. We're recording, or are we still? No, we're still in winter. Winter goes till March 20th. We're recording it early March, and we have had absolutely insane, crazy weather up in Northern California, 10 feet of snow, Lake Tahoe. And I had somebody, one of my friends, say, yeah, I'm going to go skiing. I'm going to go up to Lake Tahoe. I said, have you not been watching the news? You might not want to do that, but it is real pretty here today. And again, I have a wonderful, wonderful podcast for you today. Again, one of my friends in the dental profession is going to teach you about five keys for growing your dental business, and that is Penny Reed. Penny is a nationally acclaimed speaker. She's the author of the book called Growing Your Dental Practice, and she is a fellow podcaster. She does the Dental MBA podcast through eAssist, and we're going to be talking about not only the five keys to growing your dental practice, but eAssist is the premier company in the country that helps you with insurance billing and receivables management and all kinds of fun stuff. So we'll get to Penny in a moment. She's got just so many great tips. I've heard her speak before. She's a member of our speaking and consulting network. So looking forward to talking to Penny. Want to remind you about our partner, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. We are doing quarterly seminars, live seminars in Orange County. So please go on to the webinar and check for the next one. We've got some great speakers coming up there, including yours truly. And also, I have recorded three video teaching videos, if you will, on Art's Golden Rules and overhead and other topics that I would strongly urge you to take a look at. If you don't want to pay thousands of dollars for advice from your CPA, and I are one, you can get these for a very reasonable price. So go on to www.decisionsindentistry.com and take a look at that. The other thing I want to talk about, which I haven't talked about much, but I want you to be cognizant of it, is the Corporate Transparency Act. And this is something that actually came into the law in 2022, where the government, who is very concerned about the bad people forming entities and hiding assets and doing illegal things, they came up with a law that said everybody in the United States and further who own an interest in an LLC or a corporation or maybe own some Laker tickets, I mean, whatever they came up with, has to file a form through FinCEN, which is where you would file on your personal tax return about foreign assets that you own. Well, they came up with this, and the rules basically said that if you had formed an entity before 2024, you had to report to FinCEN by the end of 2024 and every year thereafter. It's just an informational report. But if you formed an entity in 2024, you had initially 30 days, and then they expanded it to 90 days. And again, this podcast gets published about a month to month and a half after we record it. So on March 1st, a court in the state of Alabama came up with a ruling that said, no, you know, this is kind of dumb. It's unconstitutional and you don't have to do it. So, of course, when things like that happen, my clients call me up and they go, so now what do I do? What I'm going to recommend is the following, and this is the action that you should take. You need to call your corporate or LLC attorney, and you need to say, I heard Art Wiederman talking about the Corporate Transparency Act, and I heard that it was law, and then I heard that a court said it was unconstitutional. What do I do? And I am not going to tell you what to do because I'm not a licensed attorney. This filing is done by licensed attorneys. So please call your attorney if you are worried about what you need to do on that. Last thing before I get to Penny is I just want to let everyone know that if you are looking for a dental-specific CPA, I am a dental division director at the CPA firm of Ide Bailey, and we have an amazing team that handles nothing but hundreds of dentists and dental practices and accounting and tax planning and consulting and therapy and whatever you need, we can do it for you. So if you are not getting the services that you need from your CPA, or you got an April surprise on April 13th, you got a call from your CPA and said, oh, I guess you have to pay $80,000. We've gotten more clients than I care to remember because of that. Please give me a call, 657-279-3243, or email me at awiederman@idebailey.com.
Be sure to check out our new Ide Bailey podcast, Ebb and Flow, a business podcast providing inspired insight on issues and trends the middle market faces. Hear unique business stories, get answers to frequently asked and unasked questions, and understand business topics that matter to you. Available now on your favorite podcast platform.
Okay, let's get to Penny because she is much more interesting than listening to me. Penny is a dental practice speaker, coach, and author of the book, Growing Your Dental Practice, Growing Your Dental Business. She is a nationally known speaker. She's a member of our speaking and consulting network. She's been named a leader in dental consulting by Dentistry Today many times. She's a member of the National Speakers Association, and she is also very involved. She is the Chief Growth Officer at eAssist, which will help you manage your insurance billings and accounts receivables. Penny's got a lot of hats that she wears, and she is one of the most prominent people in her profession, and it's been a while, and I've been trying to get her on, so I got her today. How you doing, Penny? How's Tennessee doing this week?
Hey there, Art. I am doing well. And Tennessee is, believe it or not, it's not Southern California, but it is sunny and 75 degrees here today.
So you're actually warmer than we are, believe it or not, in Southern California. I pulled up Chicago the other day, and Chicago was 20 degrees warmer. I don't understand weather, and I don't think I ever will. Now, I read in your bio, and we didn't talk about this, that you are a huge Disney Resort fan.
I am a huge Disney Resort fan, and maybe it's because I didn't get to go as a child. My first trip to Walt Disney World in Orlando was right after I graduated from high school, and I just was like, this is so much fun. I think I like it because I have a little bit of ADHD, and there's so much going on there that that I'm able to relax and not think about work.
So what's your favorite ride at Disneyland?
My favorite ride is, I would have to say, Soaring, both the Soaring over California and Disneyland, or Soaring in Epcot. I just love it. I love, again, the whole experience part of it. And I would never hang glide, but I'll get in that ride over and over and over. Just, again, it's like takes you away somewhere.
So I grew up in New York, Penny, and I had my Jewish boys get bar mitzvahed when they're 13. So my mother's gift to me was I got to fly to Las Vegas to visit my uncle, Captain Gerald Scherer, who was in the United States Air Force, and I got to meet the Thunderbirds while I was there. And then I got to go on to California and spend a little time there. So this is 1972. I will be applying for Medicare in August. That gives away my age, but my audience knows how old I am. And so I got to go on. And back then, they didn't have very many rides. They had the Matterhorn, which was the biggest and coolest ride. But the scariest thing for me, Penny, was the Pirates of the Caribbean. Now, I don't know if Pirates of the Caribbean is the same at Disneyland in California or Disneyland in Orlando. But when Pirates starts, when that ride starts, you go a little bit. You've got the yo-ho. Yeah, I won't sing because my wife will divorce or kill me. But the yo-ho music, and you go down. And then there's a big drop. And then there's a big drop. And I swear, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But Disneyland is very, very cool. So
it is very cool. I love them both. I've been to Orlando many more times just because of where I'm located than I have to Anaheim. But I will be coming to Anaheim for the CDA in May.
I will see you there. Hopefully we can have see each other, you know.
Or that would be great.
Have a beverage of some sort. All right, let's get to talking about what's going on in dentistry, because you are all over the place. You're doing lots and lots of stuff. How has 2024 started out for the dental profession? What are you seeing? What are some of the big takeaways from where we are?
Well, I think I would say so far it's off to a very positive start, right? If we're looking at things overall, and we're seeing less of a shortage of personnel from what I'm seeing and hearing than what we were. And of course, we're still heavily in search of hygienists and assistants, still somewhat in need for qualified administrative team members, but not quite as bad as last year. Also, of course, always a market for a qualified dentist as well, for those that have group practices. And, you know, I think what we're seeing, and it's surprising to me because I think there's so many marketing messages that we're receiving in the dental industry, it's hard to pay attention. It's a little surprising to me that with all the technology that we have and all of the communication that we have, that many dental professionals are still unaware that the codes change every year. And that can, I know that may sound, you're like, wow, Penny, is that a trend? Yet a lot of them will say, oh, yeah, you know, we get a new code manual every 2 or 3 years. Or there have been 200 code changes since 2020. And so whether you're getting the most up-to-date resource from the ADA or from, you know, the Dr. Blair resources that eAssist offers through Practice Booster, there's also a new claim form, which a lot of individuals did not realize. There's a new ADA claim form for 2024. So I think that's pretty significant. And then I would say between artificial intelligence, both on the payer side, as well as in the dental practice, that was still sort of new and fresh at the beginning of 2023. And we're really seeing it pick up more momentum, and technology is also creating more disruption than it ever has. There was a data breach, right, for Change Healthcare, which has they either are the clearinghouse or provide the engine for a lot of the claims aggregators. So that was a little bit of an unsettling start. A lot of dentists concerned about how their claims were going to get paid, but the major practice management softwares figured out solutions so that there was not much of a disruption there.
Well, a couple of comments. Number one, I mean, we lost Dr. Blair, Dr. Charles Blair, in the last year, I think it was.
It was in November.
It's November
of 2023.
I've known Dr. Blair since the 1980s, and he was just, God bless him, one of the really, really good people in the dental profession. And I had, you know, when my clients would come in as a CPA, I had his book on my desk, and I would literally say, hey, you know, if you're not, you need to buy this book. It's not very expensive. You need to buy this book every year because this is the Bible of insurance coding. I mean, it mm-hmm. just is. And it's available through eAssist, I guess.
It is. Dr. Blair became part of eAssist a couple of years ago. And I actually had the privilege of being able to work with him for about a year. And so it's still his website, practicebooster.com. Of course, his handprint is in everything that, you know, from 2023. And we, Dr. Jim DeMarino is now the CEO over there. And he's also been a dental director. So he's done a wonderful job, as well as Dr. Greg Grobmeyer, of carrying on the legacy. Great team over there. So lots of resources. It's still just as important, if not more important than ever, to have those. And Dr. Blair was one of the smartest. It's like, okay, dentist, math degree, you know, it's just a brilliant human being, and yes, and very creative and very, very helpful to the dental industry.
And one of the nicest human beings you will ever talk to. He's mm-hmm. a southerner like
yes,
you.
So there like you me. Go. Like I, me. I it was always fun to talk to him, because even if you weren't looking for a pep talk, you always got one.
Yeah,
that's just the kind of person he was. True.
Also, you had mentioned, you know, data breaches, and I want to mention again, folks, that cybersecurity. We had Amy Wood on the podcast several weeks ago, and Amy is I met Amy. She was my host at the Speaking Consulting Network when I was a new member in Nashville last, and I had never been to Nashville. Boy, what a fun place.
Nashville is a fun place.
Oh my God, that was so much fun. But anyway, so Amy is my go-to expert on cybersecurity and HIPAA and stuff like that. It scares me how many dentists just don't take that into account. Are you seeing that too?
I used to see it more. I am seeing a shift, you know, because at first it was like, well, we just won't get the internet in the office, you know, we won't file electronic claims, but it's unless you want delayed reimbursement. I mean, it's coming along. And I think it's because a lot of us, I was an early adopter of technology, yet for a lot of other people my age, I mean, like I could be in a different place. Right. So I think a lot of the doctors that were more resistant and uncomfortable just because it was foreign are retiring or have sold their practices to other groups. So in some ways, technology makes things easier. And I would say there's just as many, which I'll get into in a few moments, that's made it more complicated.
Now that's going to be in your five keys. And challenges, what are you hearing as far as challenges? I know staff is challenging. Anything else you're hearing from dentists?
Well, you know, so one thing that I would say, I'll cite a positive and then the challenge that's in it. I'm still seeing a bit of what I will call a renaissance for private practice and fee for service, right? I mean, if anything happened during COVID, it was that few months where, the dental practice owners were like, okay, what in the world are we doing working so hard? And if we could get our full fee, then why don't we? I think rising overhead, everything from the cost of supplies going up to employees wanting benefits, that's costing more. A lot of the reason that we're having staffing shortages is many of our dental employees left dentistry, right? Yes. They went to work somewhere else. They could make more in some offices. They might be able to make more at Chick-fil-A as a supervisor, you know, with benefits, or at Amazon, than they could in the dental practice. And so in order to do that, we either have to figure out different service offerings, or if we can become free from the PPOs, which you may say, okay, this is kind of funny because you work for an insurance company. I mean, those PPOs are here to stay. I said this to my group that I spoke to in Chicago midwinter. I said, who in here is fee for service? And they raised their hands. And I said, that's awesome. You know, and if you can do that, by all means, do it. But for most of us, it's a mix of things. So I think just the challenge of, you know, looking at this as a business, it's just the perfect storm, rising overhead of, you know, the cost of supplies and equipment and the higher staffing cost. If we don't figure out a way to be more efficient, be more creative, and it comes directly out of the pockets of the business owner, which is unpleasant, to say the least.
And folks, I am a broken record. I say this in virtually every podcast that we publish, is it's a math problem. My life is, it says it on my speaking one sheet, it says Art's life is a math problem. And the fact is that the average discount Now, you don't have discounts in your dental office. You give courtesies. You don't have discounts. But I'm going to call it a discount. The average discount that insurance companies force you to take when you're an in-network provider, average, is 38 to 42%. Penny, does that sound about right, give or take?
Well, it sounds a little high, but I would say this, for those that are not partnering with an outside group that that deals with hundred, yes. You know, that has hundreds of team members that are on top of this and having attorneys. Yes. Right. Without that, that's probably pretty accurate.
No, I meant, I'm sorry. I meant for a single practice out there on an island. If you are part of a large DSO that has hundreds of practices, I can guarantee you that those numbers are lower, but still, if the average profit in dentistry is 33 to 37%, which is what I've quoted for years, ever since I was part of the Pride Institute in the 80s, it was probably a little higher back then, but now 33 to 37%. And if you discount 38 to 42, let me do the math. Yeah, that doesn't work.
No,
and,
it doesn't.
And the other thing, Penny, I want
to
talk.
You're paying to have a job.
Yeah, and the thing is that I have talked to lots of dentists, as I'm sure you have, who have finally woken up one day and said, I'm done with this. This is ridiculous. And they start looking at going out of network. And what I'm finding is, patients leave, but they come back because they see what's on the other side of the fence. And then they go, wow, number one, it's not that big of a difference financially. And number two, it's not as good, right? Do you see that too with people who've gone out of network?
Yes, I have seen that. And I'll share with you, this will tell a little bit about how I got into dentistry as I tell this story. So I never set out to work in dentistry, unlike those of you that went to dental school. I got a business degree. I'm still a very nervous dental patient. I've come a long way. I still go routinely, you know, every 6 months, and I get my work done as soon as it's diagnosed. But I would be lying to you if I didn't say my hands sweat every time. Every time I walked in there, it's just me. And so I was recruited by my dentist to come and be his office manager. I had moved back to Memphis, and how I even got to know my dentist was his wife was one of my mentors. She taught a couple of classes I had in high school. She coached me in some sports. So they were like family to me. And I was really excited to get out of the Walmart business. And when he asked me to come and work for him, and I remember thinking, wow, no nights, no weekends, no stress. That's when all of you can laugh. Because it was just a different kind of stress. And we worked Monday through Thursday, saw patients Monday through Thursday. Initially, he was a solo provider at the time. And then on Fridays, that was when I would, you know, work on the insurance billing and catch up work and what have you. And back then, and this was a long time ago, I mean, this was before we did start to file electronic claims while I still worked in the office, but we had Easy Dental for DOS. I'm just going to let that hang there because that means for those of you that are younger, you did not have a mouse for the computer. You used your F function keys up at the top.
And by the way, for those of you who are under the age of 35, the DOS that Penny is referring to is not the number two in Spanish. It's the old computer programs. I remember the big mini computers that would take up a whole room. That's how we used to do accounting back in the 80s.
Oh, my God. Wow.
But
So he, you know, brought me in and I said, well, I don't really know a lot about, I don't know anything truly about running a dental practice. And he said, that's okay. I've had a practice for 11 years and I haven't really been shown how to run one either. But, you know, I know you and your character and your work ethic, and I think we'll be in great hands. And so as I began to dig in with a lot of his mentorship, because whether you like Walmart or not, the business model, I mean, hey, it works. And monitoring numbers, that was something that I learned. You know, I was the IT manager. We, you know, measured the sales and served 164 stores, and we had, you know, so many millions of dollars in sales a day that we did. So we began to look at it, and I was stunned because I'd seen P&Ls when I took accounting, but I had not really seen like a real world P&L. And and was looking at his numbers, and the top line was growing, but so were the expenses. And after the first couple of years, he began to make a little bit more money, and then it had flatlined. And I was like, this is just not right. Or again, it was like family to me. I saw how hard he worked. I saw the house that they lived in and the cars that they drove. And it was not a win-win-win, right? The patients were winning and the team was winning, but he was not winning. And so one of the things, tying in the question about the insurance, and there was only one PPO in the Memphis area at the time, and we didn't participate in it, but we were in something even worse, a DMO.
And I remember those.
Oh my. Yeah. And so for those of you that don't know what that is, we got paid a couple of dollars per individual that said we were their primary care provider. And then for most of the other procedures, we got paid zero. And so we got that regular monthly check coming in. But the main reason he was on it was that was what the private school teachers were on, like his wife's coworkers. And so you make money on a DMO when people don't come. Guess what? Our utilization was like 85 or 90%. So let me just say this. The hygiene department, we had two chairs of hygiene. We had at least one full chair every day of those DMO patients. And so, and I talk about this in my book, Growing Your Dental Business, about how we got off of that. And it was not a rip the Band-Aid off process. It was probably took us about a year, but we did our research. We contacted the school. We found out that they had a second dental plan that wasn't a DMO, right? And so we talked to the patients at their recare appointments and let them know what was coming. And being able to get, I mean, it was like adding a full day's hygiene production in every day for, I think we worked 192 days a year.
By going to
that new plan, because we were getting, you know, a couple of $1,000, if even that, maybe $1,500 a month, no matter how many we saw. And then we were also doing the basic restorative at zero. Right. And I mean, it was just great. So little did I know the lesson that I was learning back then, right? It was just basic customer service. We're going to have a face-to-face, elbow-to-elbow conversation with these patients about the change and that it's coming. So I do believe that many practices can reduce their insurance dependency. I think for most, with the expectations that a lot of patients have, unless the service is dynamic or you provide a lot of procedures under one roof, it may be difficult to not participate with any at all. But I sure like to see when a practice only has a couple, as opposed to eaten up by them.
I do too. I want to get, again, like with every guest I have on this podcast, it could be 3 hours, but we don't have 3 hours, unfortunately, dear. I'm fortunate that they listen to me for more than 5 minutes, but my listeners do that actually. I know, and I've seen this for years, that insurance just doesn't get billed right. It doesn't get billed on time. It doesn't, you know, it gets billed and then it gets lost in insurance hyperspace. And again, you're with eAssist, so let's combine this kind of like talk to us about, you know, how insurance should be billed, what can you do more efficiently, and then maybe talk a little bit about what you guys do at eAssist, and then also a little bit about what you do, because you are a speaker type person too.
Yes, thank you. I'm happy to. So a couple of things that, and I always love to share new stats whenever I hear them, because I'm a numbers geek. Not an accountant. I tried to major in accounting. And when I saw all those tax laws, I was like, that's not for me. I prefer math, which the laws of math pretty much don't change. That less than in 2022, according to the National Association of Dental Plans, less than 4% of patients utilize their dental benefit maximum.
Wow.
How is that possible?
How is that?
4%. I mean, I want you to get your calculator out, right? I mean, if you've got 2,000 active patients, or let's say they all had insurance, or if you had more active patients than that, and that many had insurance, and they had a $1,500 annual maximum, and they maxed their insurance out, you would have more dentistry than you could do.
All right, you keep talking and I'm going to get on my phone and do the math.
So think about that.
2,000 patients.
2,000 active patients times $1,500 a year is
$1,500 is $3 million. times 96. Well, we know they use some of it, but that's $3 million. So we know that some of that $3 million is going to get collected because they're going to use some of it, but they're not using all of it.
But they're not using all of it. So that's just mind blowing to me, because unless their employer's paying for it, they're paying for these benefits. So I think some of that has to do, you know, we could do a better job of talking to the patients about the benefits that they do have. It kind of goes hand in hand. So Care Credit did a, and they've given me permission to like share, and you can find this online. It's a dental lifetime of care study. And they did a survey and were asking different individuals, how much, like over the span of your lifetime, have you spent? And they estimate that an individual will spend $70,000 to $90,000 on dental, right? So a consumer will over the course of their lifetime, right? So if we begin to kind of flip how we look at things, that number one, even though I have a love-hate relationship with insurance, it does drive patients to the practice. That's so true. whether we accept the assignment of benefit or not, or we do accept it, but we're not in network, or we're in network, this is a very important component to driving revenue in the practice. And it's also, if we don't handle the insurance well, and we don't handle the financial conversations well, and then the patient's upset, and we wind up having a bill, and we're trying to chase it, not only do we not get paid well, or we don't retain the patient, we get now we get negative marketing. Right? They go out, and that's the number one reason that patients leave negative reviews. So I became super passionate around not only helping dentists collect what they're rightfully owed, because for many years I was a business coach. That's how I found out about eAssist, was we would have trouble finding competent individuals to handle the insurance because it's complicated. And I had some clients that were already using eAssist. And so they became a trusted partner for me. For clients, you know, if their accounts receivable was higher than one time their average monthly production. So if you produce $100,000 a month net production, your AR should be in the neighborhood of $100,000, right? So, and every amount that's over that, you're at risk for not getting it. Like patients forget, the longer the time frame goes by, from the time the treatment is done until the final payment is there, the less of a chance that you'll get paid. So that's what I like to recommend for dental professionals to think about eAssist, is that we're virtual, right? So we don't work in your office, but we're your partner. And for the dental billing, we don't get paid unless you get paid, because we're paid on commission, and which is very different than paying someone for being on the phone for 8 hours, and the average hold time for an insurance company is 43 minutes. So that's about 10 payers a day that someone could call.
That nobody has time for.
And PPOs were supposed to simplify insurance administration, and I believe they've done the exact opposite.
So a lot of this, Penny, is really getting the front office administrative team to know how to have the conversation. In other words, you know, a lot of these patients aren't going to know that 96% of them are not using 100% of their benefit. And gee, Mrs. Smith, you have $1,000 left. We've got some stuff we can do here.
Right.
How do you, as a coach and someone who's involved with the ESA, how do they help the doctors with that?
Well, I think it's, you know, as a team, and you and I, I'm going to quote my dear friend, Deborah Engelhart Nash, that is also your dear friend.
My dear friend.
And I am on faculty at Nash Institute and co-teach dental business school a couple of times a year with Deborah. And it's in the hygiene visit, really the entire team being aware, hygiene visit or patients in the doctor's chair. You know, I'm curious, Art, what may be preventing you from moving forward with? And we talk about whatever's in the treatment plan, right? And sometimes even with the patient, doing a retrospective is to say, well, you know, this was diagnosed a couple of years ago. You've had X amount of benefits per year that have been left on the table. Let's look at, you know, and you have this other work too. What if we created a 2-year plan, right? And you do that for the patient, you become their coach. And so I think that awareness, that was a huge aha for me and changed how I talk about the case acceptance. And I know that you, I'm going to go ahead and segue, you know, so that we can get to, you know, also those five keys. Collecting what you're rightfully owed is an efficiency metric, right? So we tend to think of increased efficiency often as chair hour value or, you know, scheduling to goal, but it really also involves getting paid. And so when I put together these five keys to grow your dental business, which are in my book, I was focused a little bit more on the scheduling side and then also how efficient we are as team members with using our CAD/CAM technology, Perio charting, you know, different things that also impact chair time. But increased efficiency is one of those five keys. So I'm going to go to the top and kind of go around, you know, around my little circle in my mind of these five keys. So for a practitioner that maybe can't afford at this moment to make an investment in a coach, or maybe they're just the type. I had a gentleman, a dentist come up to me after my last program at Chicago Midwinter and say, I've never worked with a consultant, you know, and we talked for like 45 minutes. He was a hoot. And he's getting ready to sell his practice and, you know, and he was just innately doing, you know, a lot of things right. And where he was, you know, right geography, not a lot of competition, but also good business smarts. But if we think about how do you grow a practice, I began to distill this down to there's really only five ways. And so one of those is increase efficiency. That's not normally the one that I lead with. One is our usual go-to. Oh, well, we need more new patients. Well, that is true, right? Well, we do need a healthy stream of new patients. Go ahead.
I just want you to give out your contact information and talk a little bit about, and then I want to get to these five. So let's
hit them. Absolutely.
Tell me how we get a hold of you.
Yeah. If you want to learn more about eAssist, I'm going to give you two different ways to reach out. One would be to email learnmore@eAssist.me. And if you're one of the first 10 to reach out regarding outsourced dental billing, tell them that Penny sent you from the Art of Dental Finance podcast, and there will be $195 off your first dental billing invoice. So that's nice. On the eAssist side. And then if you are interested in having me come to speak, if you have a study club or, you know, perhaps you're on a committee for planning, you can send an email to me directly, penny.reed@eAssist.me. Happy to talk with you, or you know, if you have a podcast or interested in being on the Dental MBA podcast, which Art will be on soon. We have to get that scheduled.
Yeah.
So
you're gonna let me talk for an extended period of time. That's
I am. And then
that's dangerous.
Then eAssist website is dentalbilling.com.
Okay. Well, and again, Penny is iconic in our profession. Again, I got to know her a lot better at SCN last year. I'll see her again this year. She's going to be one of my judges. I'm going to be speaking in a competition in Austin. I've been on a stage hundreds and hundreds of times, but that's probably going to scare me to death, no less, but I'm really looking forward to it. All right. Let's get to your five keys to success. Let's
Absolutely.
Just go right down.
Absolutely.
Let's start about. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. So the first is like, if I'm going in the order in the book, right. Increase new patients. That's where, and that is true, but that's usually where we focus most of our energy, and often where, and I know you've seen this as an accountant, right? Other than staffing cost and facility cost, marketing can be, and advertising can be one of the biggest expenses that a practice has. And sometimes it's a black hole. Right? Because it's ROI is not being tracked.
Tell you how many dentists I've seen a single practice doing $1.5 million, spending six figures on marketing. And I go, oh my God, you know, one of my dear friends in dentistry is Christy Bolts. I don't know if you know Christy. Mm-hmm. Christy is with My Dental CMO. I mean, and she did an analysis for one of our clients. And I just like, oh my God, you spent $130,000 on your marketing this year and your return was like negative. It's amazing how people just write the check every month. So getting new patients is a big deal.
Yeah. And sometimes it's the lack of tracking mechanisms, but the other, and what I focus on in this book is, you know, marketing on a shoestring, right? So most of the of what I share, you really don't have to spend a lot out of pocket to get it done. And I did it that way on purpose, right? Because I wanted practices to feel empowered. There's a lot that they could do. So a lot of it is more of the relationship type marketing, and what I like to call zigging when other people are zagging. So the first is increase new patients. The second is to create to increase our active patient base.
Yeah,
and that is not something that most practices measure. It began to be something that I would have my clients measure, because usually it's not measured until it's time when you get a appraisal and you want to sell your practice. How many actual active patients we have. And so, you know, this business as your asset, those patients, and I say every 24 months, how, you know, if we run a number, a report, and you could even do a query, not how many are active in the system, how many have been in the last 24 months, that number, rarely should that number not be growing, right? It's really hard to be in maintenance mode in a practice without backsliding.
And Penny, talk about that for a second, because I do a lecture on metrics. And one of my slides is we talk about patients coming in the front door and going out the back door. I mean, how many practices have you been in where you look at this and you go, I mean, you use one of the dental metrics programs that are out there, right? And you look at this thing and you go, wait a minute. There's all these patients who haven't been in the last 18 or 24 months. They're no longer active patients. What happened to them? Why didn't they have a future appointment? Why didn't they stay on? I mean, that's a big deal, right?
It is a huge deal. And as you mentioned, you know, programs like Dental Intel make it super easy, right? Yes. It'll show new patients and then it'll show the ones that went inactive. And then you're looking at, I don't know if they call it this, but this is like the business term that I would call it, net new.
Yep.
So often we think, oh, hey, we're winning. We got 55 new patients. Yet net new, we may, if we lost 75, then we've had 25 that were lost by attrition. And a lot of the time, you know, maybe they left with their next appointment and they called to cancel and reschedule. And then they don't even realize how long it's been since they've been in. So that is, but when we're, again, what, and I know you know this, what Peter Drucker says, what gets measured gets managed.
Exactly.
And so just the whole awareness of the team and making a priority and using technology, right? We can use technology like Weave to send text messages from the office number. So I talk about a lot of customer service skills, because I also think we lose patients, not just from the hygiene department, but in general, unmet expectations, whether it's financial or time or customer service, that's usually what causes the attrition. So increase new patients, increase active patients. And then the third is increasing the percentage of the patients that are active in hygiene. But I call it hygiene membership. I wanted there to be a different name because we've worn out recall. We said you recall a broken car, recare. People that are part of our ongoing community for routine preventive care. And some of this is languaging skills. Like I will recommend, please do not say you're due for blank, because that comes from the insurance companies, right? We don't want the insurance companies dictating to us what we do. And yet it's the insurance companies that really came up with that. And let them know why you want to see them every 6 months. Let them know why you want that x-ray. And not just because, oh, you're due for a pan, you're due for bite wings. And then we say, oh, well, patients don't want those. It's because we're not really telling them why they need them. We're just simply saying, pointing to the calendar. So, but yeah, pre-appointing every hygiene patient for their next appointment, unless they're a repeat offender. And you know who I'm talking about. The ones that schedule an appointment at 10 a.m. and can't make a 2 p.m. appointment on the same day, right?
And do it over and over
again. Card. Yeah, and they do it over and over again, which I would consider releasing them so they can go to someone else's office and do that. Yeah.
Or airline pilots or firefighters who don't know what their schedule is. So you put a hold card on there. But the thing is that isn't it really important for your key about this number three, hygiene recare or whatever you would like to call it. Isn't it important in the new patient exam, the first time they become a patient, to train that patient and say, okay, there's a new sheriff in town. I'm your dentist now. And this is why it's so important that we do this and that we have you come in each time, right?
Absolutely. And Art, you're going to be like, wow, Penny Reed is a little bit nutty. I am. So how I talk about this with an audience is we think of every day in the practice is like a Broadway production. There's no business like smile business, right? So if the like dentist that. Doesn't remember that cue in the new patient visit to say, hey, Art, we're so glad that you're here. You know, let's take a look at things. You know, I'm not sure how often you went to the dentist, to your previous dentist. Here's what I recommend for you, and here's why, right? You've invested, you have these beautiful restaurants, but we give them the why behind that. And we're doing an oral cancer screening. You don't get that in another office. But if the doctor doesn't say that, right, then wherever we're doing that comprehensive evaluation, if it's in the hygiene chair or if it's in operative, we make it part of the questions that the assistant or hygienist cues. And we say, you know, hey, Dr. Wiederman, let me make a note here. And I did talk, you know, a little bit with our patient about this. What's their recommended preventive sequence, right? And we talk about it for a minute at that new patient evaluation, and we give them the why. And now maybe we remind them later if they forget, but that should 100% be part of that comprehensive evaluation and make sure that everybody on the team knows that this is a question that we want to ask so that the doctor said, right? This is something coming straight from the mouth of the dentist, and they don't even have to remember to bring it up, right? The team can cue them.
Yeah. And again, guys, you're listening to one of the premier consultants in the United States. And our dear friend, Deborah Engelhardt's been on this podcast a couple of times. And the thing that we're going to tell you is this. Everybody knows you're a good dentist. You know how to cut a crown. You know what occlusion is. You know what the margin should be. What people care about is, do you care about them? Do they trust you? And are you invested in their total health? And I can't say that. I've been saying this on the pulpit for, I mean, September, day after Labor Day, Penny, I will have been a dental CPA for 40 years. Wow. I don't know what I'm going to do to celebrate that, 40 years. It was the day after Labor Day. And what I tell people is, like, you and I are going to, the next time you and I are going to see each other is going to be at the CDA convention, which is, I think it's May 16th to the 18th. And, you know, I tell people, don't go to a clinical course on how to do a crown or how to do TMJ or how to learn about Invisalign. Go to a course on how to talk to your patients. Deborah did a great course when she and I were lecturing at the AGD national meeting in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And I went and I sat there and I took 6 pages of notes. And I know most of the stuff. Oh my God. She's the funniest human being on the planet besides that.
She's
amazing. But anyway, so all right, let's get to number four.
Number four is increased efficiency, right?
So talk about that.
And if we can even get $500 a day smarter, right? I mean, I would start with a tangible number. Maybe it's $1,000 a day. And hopefully you do have one of these amazing dashboards that just gives you the information that would take someone hours to dig through the schedule and say, okay, who's coming in tomorrow that has an outstanding treatment plan? Who's coming in tomorrow that has outstanding hygiene? And if we look at that schedule, and maybe it's, hey, who could we talk to about aligners, or who could we talk to about whitening? Who do we have in the hygiene chair that we could say, hey, Art, if we could take care of this today, would you like to stay and get it done? So there's that same day treatment can be huge, especially if we have appointment changes, and those are on the rise since the pandemic, right? People are way more apt. I hate it, but it's reality. So that's one of the best ways that we can increase efficiency. And then the fifth and final key is increasing case acceptance. Oh, yeah. And from a top line revenue standpoint, that is the ultimate in working smarter. You know, if not, we're kissing a lot of frogs, and then a lot of people are saying, let me think about it, which in a sales term is kind of the kiss of death. Right. Most of them do not think about it and come back. They think about it and don't do anything, or they go somewhere else and get it done. And so if we get better at those verbal skills, which I'm also a former Dale Carnegie certified trainer, the practices that I've coached, it was not necessarily the dentist that had the best hands, that had the most profitable practices. It was the ones that were the best at the human relations component. And finding out from our patients and working with our teams too, what's most important to them and their dental health. And if we find that out first, then the objections around what's the cost investment or what is my insurance going to pay, that's secondary. Primary is, what are your goals for your mouth and your smile, right? What is most important to you? And when we do that, we become their coach and case acceptance goes up.
And it comes back down to, once you gain that patient's trust, once I as a CPA gain my client's trust, I mean, you as a coach, how many times have you gone into a dental office and you say, okay, you know what, doctor, we need to work on this. And they don't question you. They just go, if Penny says that's what we need to work on, that's what. When I say to a client, and I beat people over the head saving for retirement. And it's like, well, I don't have it. Find the money. I don't care what it takes. You know, drive a bicycle. I don't care what it takes. You need this, because when you're 65 years old and your arm starts to hurt and you get tired mentally and physically and you want to retire and you don't have the money, it's really hard getting up every morning. So about trust, you know, and that's really what it comes down to. Back to the efficiency part, Penny. That's why the morning huddle is so, oh God,
so important. I talk about this.
I mean, because like you were talking about, if we want to find that additional $500 and we pull out the dental intel report and that will tell you, hey, we have unscheduled treatment for these people. You go back to Penny's number one, folks, and it was about increasing new patients. Well, yeah, if you do that, but you don't get any case acceptance, you might as well get no new patients. I mean, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so these five fit together, like to land the plane. And this was where, and you're going to be like, oh, wow, you're getting to this at the end of the podcast. This was where the magic began to hit, because I was looking for a formula, a growth formula. And so, and I did this with 100 different practices data. If you increase new patients by 10%, if you increase your active patient base by 10%, and if you think about this over the course of a year, if you increase your hygiene recare efficiency, right, or grow the percentage of your patients that are active in hygiene by 10%, increase efficiency by 10%, which what you could do is you could look at your operative production per hour and look at your hygiene production per hour, increase that by 10%, and that's where you get your number. And then if you only increase case acceptance by 5%, and I did 5% instead of 10%, because I wanted tangible numbers that dentists and their teams could look at and not think, oh, you're kidding me. There's no way that we could increase, get one more out of 10 yeses. So I made it even, okay, one more out of 20.
One out of 20.
We could do that, yeah. Right? As we say in the South, that's about as easy as falling out of the back of a truck. We could totally do that. But if we did those first four by 10% and then increase case acceptance by 5%, every time I did the math, it was and this was top line revenue, 25% or more growth.
Wow.
So often when we look at year over year growth, we feel like we've got to, you know, climb Mount Everest and hammer a flag in, when the reality is, and not that it's not work, right? But it may be two more new patients a week per provider. It may be, you know, the active patient base growing by 10% per year. Well, that's going to happen when we have overall retention, not just hygiene retention. We may be looking at one more hygiene patient a day. This is also how you know, when do we need to add another chair of hygiene? So the formula, it's like, bam, once it was there, and even though I had been working with clients, we began to focus on that. And it gives you something, again, you can check in on it every quarter, check in on it every year, and then you've got some consistent year over year growth. And maybe you have plenty of new patients. So you're like, maybe we don't need a 10% increase there. Maybe we need to improve upon, maybe it's all the, if new patients are healthy and hygiene is not, then we know that back door. has been open. So it was really exciting to me. I'm still very passionate about growing practices. Now I feel like I help in a different way. And I love opportunities like today and also the Chicago Midwinter to talk about practice growth and to let doctors know. We know how hard you work. Our co-founder at eAssist, Dr. James Anderson, was and still is a practicing dentist. He has 7 practice locations. And eAssist was born because he couldn't find anyone competent to do his insurance billing. And he said, I'll outsource it. And he couldn't find anyone. So you don't have to leave that much money on the table, not only from being sure that it gets billed. We also have a sister company now, Unitas PPO Solutions, that can help you with your PPO management and help you with those contracts and umbrella networks and things that like give me nightmares if I think about them.
They don't teach that in dental school, but it all comes back, doctors, to if you want to make more money, there's no magic bullet. You've got to work on your practice as opposed to in your practice. You've got to go over numbers. Perfect example, morning huddle, right? How important is it, Penny, to know that on Thursday, if today is Tuesday, that we have a 10 to 12 a.m. opening for production? And how important is it to know that we're getting our 9 a.m. patient who's really been putting off having those 2 grounds? And how important is it for the doctor to know, hey, Mrs. Smith, or Ms. Reed, if you will, by the way, you know, this is my recommendation. And I happen to know that we have an opening from 10 to 12 on Thursday. And if the doctor can say, I mean, my God, this is the type of stuff that we need to be doing.
Yeah, it's huge. And I mean, I love technology. I'm also a fan of whatever it takes to get your attention. You know, when we look at that in the huddle, and if our next available production opportunities, if there are 2 of them, put them on, if whatever it takes, put it on a sticky note behind the patient's head,
right.
You know, that morning, send a message across the computer. And then when we do have the conversations with the patients that have the treatment that needs to be done, it's not necessarily talking to them about when they want to get it done. We're letting them know, hey, we happen to have an opening that just came available on Thursday at 10, right? I can say that as an assistant or the hygienist. You know, Dr. Wiederman, would that be a good time for Penny to come in and have that done? Oh, absolutely. Right. And we're marketing. Advertising is only a small component of marketing. That conversation is pure marketing and everyone being aware during the day. Hygiene opening comes open. We've got a number of patients over in operative, sometimes even in the waiting room that drove someone there. And so it's also knowing what family members, and I know we have to be aware of HIPAA. So maybe we just ask, how is such and such doing? But there are so many opportunities within the 4 walls of the practice every day to maximize production and future appointments. And often we're so busy, we miss it.
Yeah. You are golden, young lady. I'm telling
you. Thank you.
You are absolutely golden. I wish we could talk for another hour. One more time, if they can get, how do people get, oh, by the way, how do we get your book? Is it on Amazon?
The best way to get the book is to go to Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Growing Your Dental Business by Penny Reed. And that's out there on Amazon. And then I have another book called Persuade with the Case Acceptance Story. Which is a sequel to Persuade with the Story. I have co-authors on that one. That is about the power of storytelling. So it's a very different type of book for dentistry. But there's all sorts of case acceptance and presentation information in growing your dental business as well. So then to reach eAssist, you can go to dentalbilling.com. To reach our business development team, that's learn more. Isn't that clever? Learn more at eAssist.me. Mention that Penny sent you from the Art of Dental Finance, and you can get $195 off your first dental billing invoice for the first 10 that do.
Nice.
And to reach me, if you have a study club or a speaking opportunity, that's Penny. PENNY.Reed, REED at eAssist.me. Be happy to help.
Penny Reed, I look forward to seeing you in Anaheim, where I will be speaking. In fact, I'll mention that I'm speaking to a group of sellers of dental practices. We're going to be doing a bunch of roundtables through the California Dental Association, and I'll also be speaking. I always help out the folks at Bank of America with their different programs and stuff. So,
awesome.
And then I'll see you there, and I will see you in Austin, Texas. I hope
at SCN.
I hope there's some good barbecue there, that's for sure.
Oh, there will be. There will be. And we look forward to having you on our Dental MBA podcast. And thank you again. This has been so fun. I think we both share that passion of being sure that dentists are winning. And it's been a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, hang with me as I take the podcast out. And again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the honor and privilege of your time. I've been doing this now. It's been over 5 years. We're now 6th year of doing the podcast, and we are approaching 200 published podcasts. I'll have to do something special for that. And it's just been a joy, an absolute joy, because when I get to talk to wonderful human beings like Penny Reed and Deborah Engelhardt and Roy Shelburne and all these people that are my friends that I know in the dental profession, it's just so much. It's so much fun for me. Again, if you are going to be at the CDA convention, please come by our booth. I don't know if we have a booth number yet, but we have a booth there every year. I will be at our booth. I will be speaking, I think it's Thursday morning, to a bunch of sellers, and I think I have one or two others I'm going to be doing. Please go to our partner, Decisions in Dentistry magazine, www.decisionsindentistry.com. 140 continuing education courses for a very, very reasonable price, and 3 courses published by yours truly, Art Wiederman, on metrics of a dental practice, retirement plans, and Art's Golden Rules, which are some of my favorite things to talk about. And again, we'll see you on the road. And I will say the same thing Penny said. If you're looking for someone, Penny and I don't speak on the same topics, but if you're looking at your meeting planner or study club and you want to talk about financial planning, tax planning, how to increase the federal budget deficit by paying less taxes. That's my goal. Government does a real good job of it on their own, but I help them. Anyway, call me 657-279-3243 or email me at A. Wiederman, that's Wiederman, at idbailey.com. Well, that will do it for this edition of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Please tell your friends about our podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast on all the podcast platforms that you can find. And we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. The Art of Dental Finance and Management podcast is produced by Ide Bailey in partnership with Art Wiederman, CPA, Decisions in Dentistry Magazine, and the Academy of Dental CPAs. For audience questions and feedback, email Art Wiederman, awiederman at idebailey.com. That's A-W-I-E-D-E-R-M-A-N at E-I-D-E-B-A-I-L-L-Y.com. Or you may call Art at 657-279-3243.